الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ويرضى ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى وقال الله عز وجل وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وفي شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وسلم عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. We abundantly praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, the one who protects us and guides us, the one who continues to nourish us, sustain us, and the one who sent the most noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to illuminate our lives, to take us back into the gardens of paradise. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower upon our noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his pure and noble and illustrious family, and upon the noble, beautiful companions, and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. My respected elders, mothers, sisters, youngsters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you all today on this noble and sacred day of Jumu'ah in the beautiful house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may our intentions, may our efforts become a means for our purification, for our guidance, and for our pardon and forgiveness in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Ameen. Today, inshaAllah al-Aziz, we will talk about a very simple but pertinent topic that has been on the minds of many of our youngsters, and they've been asking this question about the social situation of the rising costs, the living costs, and how Muslims should be and how we should interact with the living cost scenario, and how we should be within our homes and also within our society. So inshallah al-Aziz, very briefly today we'll touch upon this from the Islamic perspective, which will inshallah al-Aziz give us all of the necessary guidance and hopefully inshallah al-Aziz the key points that we need to implement in order to benefit ourselves and also benefit those people in our communities and also in our societies, inshallah al-Aziz. So no Muslim can be a true Muslim, i.e. a complete Muslim. They cannot complete their iman, they cannot complete their faith. And neither can we be true mu'mins or true muhsins without also having love and share and concern for humanity. Because we submit and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we follow the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. But in all of our submission and in our fellowship, we see that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam throughout his life always had a concern for those people that were around him, whether they were Muslims or whether they were non-Muslims, whether they were his friends, his foes, his relatives or his enemies. He was always concerned for their, not just for their spiritual welfare, for their welfare of the hereafter, whether they're going to end up in Jannah or Jahannam, but he was also concerned for their physical welfare, for their emotional welfare, for their mental welfare, for their financial welfare. And we see from the beginnings of Islam a huge encouragement to support the needy, to support the destitute, to support the poor, to support the slaves, to support the widows and the orphans, to support the single mothers, to support part and parcel of those people who are part and parcel of society. So if in order for us to be true and complete Muslims and Muhsins, then we need to also love humanity the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves all of His creation, but He has special love for the Ummah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Similarly, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam loved the Ummah, his own Ummah, the followers of Iman, the followers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but equally he had a great concern and love and affection for those people that were not Muslim, so that he could bring them and support them and guide them. So the fundamental premise of Islam is not only just to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to follow the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, because if you just do those two very things, those are very personal things that you do. You worship Allah and you follow the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, that's a personal thing. But if you sever your connection from your society, from your family, from your community and from humanity, then your Iman and your Islam is not truly actually complete. So we need to also be interacting with those people that are around us, because we have huququllah, the rights that we have, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. And we also have huququl ibad, the rights of humanity and those people that are around us. So Islam as a religion, it highly stresses solidarity. Solidarity here means to stand shoulder to shoulder, to be concerned for other people, not just think that you are rich, that you are fine, that you are affluent, that you have certain amount of resources, but no, to stand with solidarity with those people with of faith or of no faith in the same concerns and the same struggles that they are having with their children, with their family, with their household, with their work, with their job. Islam means to have compassion, not just compassion for the ummah, but compassion for other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was sent first and foremost for all of humanity. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. He was sent for those who followed him and those who did not follow him. And he was always concerned for the well-being of his community, for the well-being of those people that he was around. And he was also concerned about the future, the followers of the messenger, of his message towards the end of time as well. So he always had this connection with humanity. Unfortunately, in this day and age, we either just have concern for ourselves or for our immediate family members, our wife, our spouse, our children, our grandparents, and that's about it. Or we don't care whatsoever. Whereas the Prophet ﷺ, he always had this care and concern for all of those people that were around him. He was always there to cooperate in a'mal, in good actions, in actions that benefited society, by having gardens and allowing people to access the gardens for them to relax and recuperate, for having wells and dedicating those wells not just to a particular tribe like the Quraysh or the Qaws or the Azraj, etc. No, this is for all of the society. They can come and they can benefit from this water, from this well, from this garden, from all of these things. So Islam is about that interaction, not just with your immediate self, but rather your interaction with your neighbors, with your community, with your colleagues. It is part of building a stable family, but also building a stable community and a stable society and also a stable world. Because we need to show that this is Islam. We're not just concerned for ourselves, but rather we are concerned for the well-being and the affairs of other people that are in this world or in this community. And hence why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the glorious Quran, He reminds us, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, to cooperate with other people. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mean to only cooperate with Muslims or those people from your firqa or those people from your mazhab or those people from particular areas or backgrounds. No, Any person who tries to bring benefit for other people, to ease their discomfort, to ease their stress, to ease their difficulty, to encourage righteousness and khair and goodness, any person who does that, you need to cooperate with them, whether they are Muslim, whether they are non-Muslim, because that khair and that goodness will show Islam in the best of light, will show Muslims in the best of light, but more importantly than that, it will actually help the community, heal the community, strengthen the society and the world that we live in. So we as a Muslim community, we can't be insular and just think about our concerns and our problems. We also need to interact with the wider society, especially our neighbors, especially those people living on our streets, or the people that we work with, or our the school children and their friends and their family members that we interact with but don't really engage with. We don't really know what's going on in their lives and the difficulties that they are facing. We need to cooperate in the food banks. We need to cooperate in other places where society is going there and they need that assistance, they need that help, they need that goodness. So in khair, in goodness, and also in taqwa, which basically means to speak the truth, to be honorable, and to do those things that are right, those things that are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So social compassion is coming together for the spreading of khair, for the spreading of goodness across the entire community, whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim, without any discrimination. And if you feel that you don't even know your neighbor's name, or you don't know how many children they have and what their names are, or what difficulty or problems they are facing, or you know what's going on in their life, then we are lacking in our duty, in our responsibility as Muslims, especially towards our neighbors, because one of the commands of the Prophet ﷺ is to partake in the happiness and joy of your neighbors. But if you don't even know who they are, you've never knocked on their door, you don't know what's going on in their life. And similarly, he commanded that when they are in sorrow or difficulty, for you to help them and ease them in their difficulty, in their trials and tribulations as well. But we don't know any of these things because we just think and concern ourselves with ourselves. But the Islamic paradigm and shift is actually towards community cohesion, towards working together holistically in the entire society and being part and parcel of that entire system and not just isolating ourselves. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions that the example of the faithful believers is like the human body. If the head aches, then the whole body also aches as well. So we feel this for our ummah, we feel this for the people in Palestine, we feel it for the people in Yemen, and the people in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Pakistan, in Kashmir, in India, in China, throughout the world, wherever we see suffering for Muslim brothers and sisters, we feel that pain. But this is just one element of the Prophet ﷺ encouraging our concern for the ummah. But at the same time, he also exemplified that we should need to have the similar concern for the people of other faiths, for the people within our community. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ. That worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a doubt. That is our primary objective and goal, to worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and associate nothing with Allah azza wa jal whatsoever. And then to be dutiful, to be kind and considerate, to be there for our parents, to help them, to aid them and assist them. And the same amount of sincerity and this dutifulness and this khidmah and this service and this concern also needs to filter down towards our relatives, towards the orphans in society, towards those people who are needy, towards the near neighbor. So your immediate neighbor, and look at here how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the near neighbor and the neighbor which is far away. We're lucky if we even know the neighbor on our right or the neighbor on our left. You know, or let alone the neighbors on, seven neighbors on our right and seven neighbors on our left, we don't really make that active effort. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, throughout his time in Makkatul Mukarrama and in Madinatul Munawwara, he always engaged with all of the people that were there in society. And even when Muslims went to Abyssinia and other places, they become part and parcel of that society and they engage in the concern and the welfare of that society as well. So your neighbors, your near neighbors, your far away neighbors, the companion at your side, are your acquaintance, your colleague, your friends, and also the travelers, all of these people, they can't just be shunned by society or by the Muslims. We have to have an active engagement with these people. We need to be aware of these people and we need to be helping them. We need to be having this engagement and this communication with these people. But unfortunately, it's just me, myself, and just my family, and that's it. You're just concerned about these immediate things, and we are lacking in our duty towards the rest of humanity. That humanity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, that humanity the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would go out and search for them, and he would take care of women and their shopping and their food, just like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq would and so many other Sahaba ikram would, even though they were not Muslims, but they had this care, this compassion, this concern for the community that they lived in. And with the way that the society is now, with the living cost rising higher and higher, people are struggling with their bills. People are struggling to put food on their table. More and more people are going towards the food banks. People are working extra hours. And both partners are even working now within the same home just to make ends meet, and life is getting more and more difficult. For those people who have nests and savings, etc., it's much more easier for them. But for the average people who are working people, it's much more harder for them. And you, just by being there, by smiling, by giving the attentive ear, by listening to them, or by just sharing your food, or by just assisting them in some way or form, you can actually do so much good and khair for them in terms of give them happiness, that joy, that support, that assistance, and also show Islam in the best of manners by saying, this is who we are as Muslims, and this is how we share our concern for them. Just ask them, how are you? How are you? Are you struggling? Do you need any help? Can I give you any guidance or advice or assistance? It's not always just about the financial aspect of you having people, but it's the other aspects as well. And so this is why the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam reminds us that whoever relieves a believer's distress, you are in difficulty, you are in some form of calamity, some distress, some problem, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rescue that person from his difficulties on the day of Qiyamah. So you help people in the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you in the hereafter. Whoever alleviates one in dire straits, and especially in debt, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will alleviate him both in this dunya and also in the hereafter. So here we have clear-cut examples of our duty, not first and foremost to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our deen, and towards the ummah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But inshallah we'll see how this is also then generalized towards the wider society as well. So compassion is a very vast and wide subject, and it's by no means limited just to your immediate family members or to your relatives, but actually it goes out and it branches out towards the near neighbors and the far neighbors and the orphans, the needy, the relatives, the companions, your acquaintances, your community, your society. We need to be part and parcel, and we need to understand who is struggling, who is in difficulty. We need to be there to support them and guide them. Look at the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He instructs Sayyidina Abu Dharr. He goes to him, Ya Abu Dharr, that whenever you prepare a broth, you know, when you make some soup or some kind of handi, etc., whenever you prepare a broth, if the smell reaches your neighbors, because it will, you know, eventually when you have the windows open, the doors open, the smell will reach your neighbors. And even if it doesn't, if you prepare a broth, put plenty of water. This doesn't mean do malawad like the people in Pakistan do with their milk and other things. No. Put plenty of water in there. Why? Because then you'll have a bit more and you'll be able to give that as a present to your neighbors. Whether they are Muslim or whether they are non-Muslim, you give it to your neighbors as a show of love, as a show of neighborliness, of a show of compassion and concern, and also to assist them in what way. So whenever you make something, think about your neighbors. You don't know what's going on, and just that food, you don't know how it will change their heart or move their heart or bring that beauty, that light and guidance in their heart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just by a gesture of goodwill or generosity of compassion from you as a Muslim. So Islam, remember, is a religion of mercy. And this is what we constantly remind ourselves, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. So therefore we have this duty to be merciful towards all of the people that are around us. Not just merciful towards ourselves or to the ummah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We Muslims be merciful to animals, we be merciful to the nature, we be merciful to the world, we be merciful towards all of those people that we come across. And we nurture that love and that kindness within our heart, and we promote that generosity and that concern for other people. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam reminds us, anyone who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر, and the last day, should not ever harm his neighbor. And the Prophet further elaborates, you can't harm them physically, and you certainly can't harm them even verbally with your tongue as well. So if we're not allowed to harm them, what is the opposite? We should be saying nice words with our tongue and giving gifts with our hands and helping them and assisting them. Anyone who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the last day should entertain his guests generously. Anyone who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should talk what is good. I speak well, speak good, otherwise remain quiet. So we need to really actively engage with our community, with our neighbors, and take that step out of our little circle and say, look, let's find out what's happening with this neighbor. Let's find out what their name is, what their children are going through, what kind of difficulties they are going through. The most beloved of two people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, khayrun nas wa ahabbun nas ila Allah anfa'uhum, the most beloved of people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those people who are the most beneficial to others. Here, the Messenger ﷺ doesn't mention those who are beneficial to other Muslims, to other Muhsins, to other Mu'mins. No, to those who are beneficial and kind and generous towards other people, i.e. humanity, i.e. our community, i.e. our society, our neighbors. And the most beloved of deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the happiness that you bring to a fellow Muslim, or you relieve him of any distress, or you pay off his debt, or you expel from him any hunger, i.e. you give him some food. The Prophet ﷺ furthermore mentioned that for me to walk with my Muslim brother in his time of need is far dearer to me than me just secluding myself in worship within the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a month. When you do i'tikaf, that is solely between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not benefiting anybody. But the Prophet ﷺ said, rather than do this for a whole month, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'd rather walk with my brother in Islam and help him and assist him and listen to him and guide him wherever I can. So this is the encouragement, this is the community, the cohesion that the Prophet ﷺ teaches us again and again. This is what our religion, Islam, teaches us, to be part and parcel of our community, our society. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. That they give food in spite of their love for it. Give food, you love your food, share that food out with your neighbors, with your community, with those people who are struggling. If you have wealth, share your wealth out, not just towards the Muslim, but towards the non-Muslims as well, to the needy, to the orphan, to the captive, and the other categories that we've discussed, the neighbors and the widows, etc. Why? We do this only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we don't get any reward from these people, because our reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam once said to the Sahaba ikram that every single Muslim has to give charity. And the Sahaba ikram said, well, what if someone has nothing to give? You know, you're destitute or you're poor yourself. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, then that person should work with his own hands, earn something, gain something so he can benefit himself, and then he can give something in charity. And they said, what if he can't even do that? And the Prophet ﷺ said, he should help the needy who appeal for help. So if you can't give something, at least help them, walk with them, listen to them, assist them, do something, rather than just sit at home and say, jalo, you know, for them is their religion, my religion, manuki lagi, I'm just about struggling. But no, even if you are struggling, we still look towards other people, we're still concerned for other people. This is the sunnah, this is the Islamic ethos, this is the spirit of Islam. So people, families, single mothers especially, and even grandparents, the elderly, they are struggling at this very moment in time with their food, with their rents, with their bills, with the cost of living as is rising more and more. And those people who have been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is our duty to give whatever we can, however little, however much it may be. But giving doesn't just mean in monetary value, it means giving your time, it means giving your advice, it means giving your help, your assistance in some way or form. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this entire earth not just for us to live in isolation, or just for us to recognize and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say we rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but no, He's given us family, He's given us friends, He's given us neighbors, He's given us a community, a society, a world, He's given us humanity for us to be concerned for them and their welfare. This is how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was. So be kind to others, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be kind to you. ask people what they are going through, sit down with them, speak to them, and find ways to assist them, whether you do that openly, whether you do that in a secret manner, help others in private, make dua for others at least in private, give in charity as much as you can. Do something rather than just sit and say, okay, it's their problem, let them deal with it. No, Muslims, we are part of this community, of this world, of this society, and we are always concerned for the society, not just for other Muslims, just the way the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was always concerned for all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal enable us all to act upon all of these things. Wa aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum, jazakumullahu khairan.